Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to an encore presentation of Living Smart and Well, the best of Inez Bracey. Inez is currently traveling the world, and each week she will keep you up to date on her adventures when she lets you know where in the world is Inez at the beginning of each show. We hope you enjoy this encore presentation of Living Smart and Well, and now, here is Inez Bracey.
Good afternoon, this is Inez with Where in the World is Inez. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, friend me on Twitter, and if you're listening to us on iTunes, be sure to like us. We would really appreciate that. This has been another awesome, I'm going to say believable, exciting, extraordinary, over-the-top, out-of-the-park week. 3 countries in 3 days. It started on Monday in Subic Bay in the Philippines. When I had the opportunity to come, I was given the opportunity to travel to China. And so I went online to research it, and in order to enter China, you must have a visa, and it's all these things you have to go through. However, I could fly into Hong Kong and get my visa in Hong Kong and come into China. And that is exactly what I did. Flew into Hong Kong, took the fast train from the airport into the city to the place where I would apply for my visa. And lo and behold, I was in on Wednesday. I could pick up my visa on Thursday, the very next day, at 5 p.m. How cool is that? It was just so awesome. When the opportunity presented itself, it never even occurred to me to say no, because I knew that China was on my intention list to visit. And I also remember Joan Rivers saying years ago when she had a trip, an offer to go to Russia. And she said, she told her friends she was going to Russia, but it would only be a 4-day trip. And they said to her, Joan, why would you take a 4-day trip? It's going to take you 2 days in travel. She said, because this opportunity might not ever present again. And look at the 2 days that I will have to spend in Russia. So every time opportunities present themselves to me for travel, I remember what Joan said and I say yes. So right now I am in China and it is raining. I'm looking out my hotel window. China is different. Hong Kong is new, is vibrant, lots of tall buildings. They have tall buildings here in China also. I am in Shenzhen, but the buildings are old. China isn't as much older, but I have got to tell you, the food, I am on a gastronomic pleasure trip. The food is so amazing, so delicious. The flavors that blend together, and don't ask me to tell you what the flavors are. I just know that when those flavors come together, it gives my mouth a sensational, just delightful, delicious taste, and I am so enjoying my trip. This has been Inez Bracey talking to you today from China. I wish you the most fantabulous, fantastic, extraordinary week. When opportunities arise, think of ways to say yes rather than no. I will be back again next week with another Where in the World is Inez. Go out and create your most fantastic, fabulous week. Are you ready to pamper yourself with luxury that is within reach? As a loyal listener, you can now get cash back, rebates of up to 30%, and discounts up to 60% while shopping at over 1,100 of your favorite stores. You deserve it. Let yourself go wild at loveloyaltysuperstore.com, where paying retail price is a thing of the past. I've experienced this fabulous internet savings mall and highly recommend it to you. Be sure to visit loveloyaltysuperstore.com to enjoy shopping in a whole new way at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.
Today I have on my show a special guest, Esther Nicholson, a celebrated vocalist formerly with Bette Midler and Rod Stewart, is a gifted speaker, teacher, former addict, and now author of Soul Recovery, 12 Keys to Healing Addiction. Ms. Nicholson has spent the past 10 years unifying the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step process with metaphysical principles that have redefined what success looks like in the treatment of addiction and dependence. Her new book, Soul Recovery, outlines these processes and tells the story of a broken and seemingly powerless girl and how she developed the soul recovery process in the course of her own healing. Esther, are you with me?
I am here.
Excellent. Welcome to the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well. And when I read your, when I got your information and I started reading it, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the 12-step program because it's been around for a long, long time. And why was that not enough for you in order to come out of your addiction and to heal yourself?
Well, first of all, I want to totally honor the 12-step recovery program and the 12-step themselves because they totally saved my life. You know, for the first 10 years of my sobriety, it was being engaged fully and completely in that 12-step process that totally transformed me from what I was before practicing those principles and got me up off my knees and started me to walking in my own brand of dignity. My thing, you know, what I'm saying is that after 10 years of being sober, that I noticed something. I noticed that this process that had worked so well for me for 10 years had stopped working. But they did what they were absolutely designed to do. They were designed to get me to a certain place of healing and then spring me off into another level of healing. Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, says that we must enlarge our spiritual life, you know? So they did what they were designed to do, and then it was time for me to go to a deeper level. And so that's why they stopped working, because, you know, they'd done their job, and they're like, okay, now go deeper. It's time to go deeper. And the going deeper is something that the 12 steps are just not designed to take you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. Because when you talk about metaphysical principles, are you talking about the I'm laughing because so many people, when they see metaphysics, they automatically start thinking woo-woo, cultism, and all this other stuff. Tell us what this means for you.
Well, metaphysical teachings is really ancient wisdom, you know, and it's the same teachings that Jesus taught. You know, of knowing that this presence and power, this higher power that the 12 steps talk about is the one power, you know, the one life, and it is within you. It is not up in the sky someplace. It is not, you know, in the churches or in the AA meetings or in your office or in your wife or in your husband. You know, that nothing outside of you is your source and your power, but that power is within you. And there's absolutely nothing woo-woo about it. It's a dynamic teaching, it's a dynamic fact that gives you your power back. It allows you to take your power from out there and have mastery and dominion over your own mind and your own beingness.
Yes. I'm just loving everything that you're saying because I know that so many people put everything outside of them and then they think that it's going to work and it just doesn't. So you have really gone through the fire to reconnect.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the name of your book, Soul, because it tells me that you did some work, some hard work. I know it wasn't easy to really reconnect with your soul, and that is the name of your book. Why did you name it Soul Recovery?
You know, that was such a gift that, you know, again, being able to go within my own beingness and say yes to the infinite wisdom that is this universal presence that we call God, that we call life, that we call, you know, whatever it is that we call it, but it is within us, and it is the infinite knower, and saying, you know, what is the perfect name for this book? What is the message that I'm really trying to convey? And, you know, I wrote on a piece of paper, Soul Recovery, the recovery of my soul. You know, so soul recovery is not about trying to recover from something, even though you will recover from everything that is unlike your wholeness. It is about recovering the real something, the truth of who you are. You know, and, you know, in the absolute truth, you're not recovering something that you never had. You're recovering your original nature that you've just forgotten about, that you've been hypnotized into believing that that's not the truth of you. You know?
What you just said. Hypnotized. And
yeah.
I got to throw this out. I just got finished reading about 2 weeks ago the book Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And he talks about how he chooses people by hypnotizing them and getting them to drift. And what you just said, when you realize that you have been hypnotized and you break those shackles, then you can reconnect. Then you can become who you are and understand. Now, you did say something about infinite knowing and your beingness and all of that. We both admit that we've been talking about that it's inside of us. So now, when we look at that, what do you say to people when they say to you, now, Esther, are you telling me that you are the same as God? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe not the way that they're saying it, but what I am saying is that this infinite something, this invisible infinite something that we call God, and we know that that three-letter word can't describe the indescribable. You know, it's the way that us humans, it's a word that us humans have come up with in order to describe something that's indescribable and infinite, because how can you describe the infinite? But that this infinite something, this infinite invisible something, has loved itself and thought itself into physical expression as me. So I am indeed that which it is, and it is that which I am. And I am forever unfolding more and more and more into my realization of it. Now, can I of myself, from this level of consciousness, can I create the sun, the moon, and the stars? No. But that which created the sun, the moon, and the stars creates in, as, and through me.
Yes. You got it, girl. You are owning it. I love it. You are owning it. Now, I'm going to read this passage from your book, because when I read this, I thought, oh, my, you were in such a dark place. And it says, this is starting in the beginning of your book, I've done it again. When all the drugs were gone, the realization of spending my last dime dawned on me. My frightened little daughter and I left the drug dealer's house, walking down the street at 4 a.m., the shame came pouring out of me, and I cried hysterically. Mommy will never do it again, baby. I'm so sorry. She looked at me with hope and disbelief all at once. She already knew we'd come this way again, and we did. And I can just see this child looking up at you with those big brown eyes. From that point that I just read about to where you are now, tell us a little bit about this journey on which you decided to embark and how you're staying sober.
Well, you know, that was a huge part of the journey, and that was a huge part of my recovery. But as I said in that passage, we came that way again. You know, you would have thought, you know, that having such a dark experience at that time, you know, that I would have said, well, that's it. I promise, you know, I'll never do this again. And I did indeed say that. But because the dis-ease of addiction is based in a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy, because the spiritual malady was not healed, of course I had to come that way again. Addiction is when you have lost the power to choose. Even though in your heart of hearts, in your very beingness, you never want to do that thing again. Unless you are reconnected to your soul, you absolutely will do that thing again. And so I did that thing again, but there was something in me that knew, if I'm going to do this, and I can't stop no matter what right now, I don't have to drag my daughter through it with me. I can at least make sure that she's safe. So for 2 years, I gave my daughter up to my family so that if I was going to walk the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning, she would be snuggled warmly and safely somewhere in a bed, and she would be safe. And I think it took about another year after that before I finally said, well, you know, I had gotten in that taxi. I don't know if you read that part.
I was going to ask you about that part, too. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And this taxi driver pulls over, because I tell him, take me to the drug neighborhood, which was Dun, Samir, and Pico. And he pulls over his cab, and he turns around, and he says, please don't do it, young lady. You don't have to live this way. I looked in his eyes and I saw my life and death flash in front of me. And I knew that that was it. I knew that was the end of that journey, that I had to get sober or I was going to die. That was the universe saying, last chance. And from that moment on, I dove into the spiritual aspect of recovery with the desperation of a dying woman. I did not want to not only not die, I could not live that way for one more day. And it was from that place of really committing myself to the spiritual aspect of the program that I started to transform. You know, I started having spiritual experience after spiritual experience. And some of them, you know, some of those experiences felt like the dark night of the soul as well. But what's beautiful about that is that those are purifying experiences that allow that which no longer serves you to fall away so that you can come more into alignment with your wholeness. As a result of doing that over and over again and lifting heavier spiritual weights and, you know, coming into metaphysical teachings and all of that, you know, that I can sit here right now speaking to you with 26 years of sobriety, and not that wounded little girl, not that wounded young lady that was walking down the street with her 7-year-old daughter to go score drugs.
Wow. Now, what you failed to mention when you talk about being in the cab, you had been sober for a while.
I've been sober for like,
working.
Yeah, Yeah, I had like strung together like 90 days. Mm-hmm. But I love again what it does say, you know, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, is that self-knowledge and fear will keep you sober for a little while. But eventually that self-knowledge will avail you nothing. If you haven't embodied, you know, these principles, that eventually that mental blind spot will come again. And it did, you know, prior to that taxi ride, I was just going to the meetings and hanging out and with my tight red dress on so I could attract more attention and, you know, practice my other addiction, you know, which was please love me, please see me, and not really practicing a program at all. So I had white-knuckled and, you know, my way into 90 days, but there came a time, there came a reckoning where the universe was like, are you really ready? Are you really serious? You know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't, because it caught me completely off guard. I was on my way to do it again.
And, you know, I when I was reading that, I thought, you know, God put her in this taxi, because some taxi drivers would have taken you without paying any attention. You just take, you know, they got a fare. But one was different. And that is why he was the driver that chose to pick you up that day. Isn't that amazing how things come
out? That was divine intervention. That was my angel saying, that's my assignment. To pick up Esther, to save her life.
Amazing, amazing. Now, I know there's a 12 steps to recovery that you have are unique, but what are the keys? What are those 12 keys?
The first step is I am powerless and my life has become unmanageable. And the key that is an expansion of that is I am conscious of my oneness with God or spirit or whatever you call it, and I am divinely empowered. And my life is in divine and perfect order. So you see the difference from powerlessness, from a place of separation, to being empowered and your life being in divine and perfect order from your conscious awareness that you are one with the universe. And then step two is, I'm sorry.
Let's talk a little bit about that one first. Let's talk about that, because that is the first one. I used to be a drug abuse counselor and all that other stuff and work with Alcoholics Anonymous and so forth and so on. And I always had a problem when we talked about I am powerless, because it gives up your power. And when I was reading this and I came across your and all your steps, they're right on, I am conscious. Now I can take my power back and feel in recovery.
That is so powerful. But let me say, I really respect as well the first step of I am powerless. But it was, you know, I think this is a necessary step at different points of our journey. But that step was not created for you to pull over and park there. It was created for you to say, okay, where I am right now, based on my false belief that I am separate and apart from God, based on my ego efforting, I am powerless. I have lost the power to choose. I think that that's an important admission when that's what you're demonstrating. However, I know that this is not the final word of who I am, because there's a power within me that I am reconnecting to that restores me to my original power. So I think that it's important. I think it's important to recognize that, you know, at first that you are powerless. And, you know, there were different times in my recovery that I've had to revisit that step again, you know, in the other addictions that started taking off, you know, after I recovered from drugs and alcohol. It's like, oh, whoa, I'm addicted to love. I'm addicted to my emotions. I'm addicted to worry. I'm addicted to fear. Oh, wow, of myself right now, I am powerless. And my life has become unmanageable because of that addiction. Now what must I do? I must revisit those tools that I outline in key one to reconnect myself to my soul, to reconnect myself to my wholeness. And when that is done, I am no longer powerful. I am no longer powerless.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the other thing, too. I love the way you have a process. So let's go. We only have about 8 minutes left in the show. So that was the first step. And all of your steps, you talk about, first of all, the 12 steps, and then you give a key. Now, when we're doing the keys and we're having the process, let's go through one of your – but when we're talking about the first step, let's go through the process of that first step that one can use to reconnect with their soul.
Well, I think that it's very important, and I talk about this in the first key process, is, again, shamelessly and compassionately and lovingly admitting that the God that you were brought up with is not an effective God. If you're still in fear and if you're still powerless, you know, and it's a God that you're afraid of and that you can't be honest with and you can't be your authentic self, then maybe, you know, maybe nothing's wrong with God, but maybe there's something wrong with your perception about God. You know, so let's get clear about that perception. You know, I was raised a Baptist minister's daughter, and my perception of God was, you know, very scary. You know, I was never accepted. I was never good enough. You know, I was always sinning. I was always, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so I reexamined that belief and said, is this the God that I can turn my life over to? You know, and so in that key, it is asking me to put aside everything I think I know, everything I think I was raised with that was right, everything I think I don't know about God, life, spirit, about myself, so that I could have an open mind and a new experience. And now from this place, the very nature of the universe, omnipotence, meaning all power. So if the universe is all power and its nature is all good, its nature is infinite wisdom and divine intelligence, and its nature is order, peace, love, compassion, wisdom, wholeness, and it is individualized as you, you are one with it, then this must be the truth about you too. And then we break it down, you know, just giving a few examples of how it is possible that you are one with God. And we give, you know, even though I'm not great at quantum physics and all of that stuff, I break it down in the simplest terms of, you know, if you have the ocean and the wave, and you see a big wave, is the wave separate and apart from the ocean, or is the wave another way the ocean is happening? You know, if we have a block of mahogany wood, and out of that mahogany wood we create a table, a lamp, and a chair, even though the table, the lamp, and the chair have been through a few moves and they might have a few scars on them, what's the essence of that table, the lamp, and the chair? It's mahogany wood. It maintains its integrity of being mahogany wood. So this invisible presence and power that we call life, universal presence, you know, that is individualized as the sun, the moon, and the stars, it's also individualized as you. You know, and then we do a couple of meditation processes to help you, you know, you stay in that process for 1 week that helps you embody and, like, get a sense, a feeling of that oneness.
I love it. I love your book. I really appreciate the way you broke it all down and put it out there. And it just makes sense when you look at it, because
yeah,
that gives us the opportunity to stop looking outside ourselves for
right,
who we are and who we are being. And that is, I think, so important. You briefly mentioned, because I was going to ask you a question, but you sort of mentioned it, about the different threads and substance in addiction. You mentioned love addiction and something else.
Right.
So does this book work with all of those challenges? Does it work with food? Does it work with relationships? Does it work with sex? Does it work with all the different challenges one
absolutely
might have?
Absolutely. 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 Because addiction, the word addiction is just talking about the form that you're addicted to. So if you're not addicted to drugs and alcohol, but you're addicted to being in one relationship after another, that means you're addicted to love. You're addicted to wanting to belong. You're addicted to, you know, your feelings of abandonment and feeling unloved and all of that. So of course, so the cause of addiction to drugs and alcohol is because you falsely believe that you are separate and apart and disconnected from your soul, then that would be the same cause for your being addicted to anything else. And the solution would be the same as well. So absolutely, it works for depression. It works for food. It works for relationships. It works for any area in your life where you feel that you have lost the power to choose.
Now, we were talking about addiction. Is Soul Recovery only for addicts?
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, not. it all depends on what you think an addict is. If you are dependent on anything outside of yourself, like someone could be, in a marriage and they've never touched a drug or alcohol, but they're addicted to the person, that they're married to,
Right.
Or they're addicted to wanting approval, or they're addicted to anything, then, like I said, the cause of that dependency or addiction is the same, so the solution would be the same as well, is reconnecting back to your soul. And it's from this reconnection that now you are restored to emotional balance and well-beingness. It's also, powerful if you're having physical ailments, because if you're restored back to your wholeness spiritually, then you're going to straighten out emotionally and physically.
Exactly. Now, right. I noticed that I'm wondering if you have a program that you train other people in how to use soul recovery.
Absolutely, and you can do that by going to soulrecovery.org. We are now in our fourth week of this first class that I'm doing, where I'm training people to become soul recovery coaches that already have a feeling for the 12 steps, but now they want to expand the 12 keys for their own, practice if they are a minister, a therapist, a sponsor, whatever. So I'm taking them through that course. Or if you want to go through this, just for your own spiritual unfoldment, then we are also developing courses for that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now tell us again where we can reach you.
You can reach me at www.soulrecovery.org. So that's Esther at soulrecovery.org. You can also pre-order the book. The book is officially released on June 7th by Hay House. But you can pre-order. You can pre-order on Amazon, on Amazon.com, and it's like at half price on Amazon.com. So not only can you get a book for yourself, you can get a book for your friends or anyone that you think would benefit from the practicing of these keys.
Awesome. Now I have a couple more questions for you, because I really want you to tell me about being on stage with Rod Stewart. I mean, that's what I really want to tell. He's one of my favorites. I'm like, yes, I got to ask him about that. But when you talk about this, we've talked about the being the all and all of that, and how we as humans have to label things in order to understand it. And I think you explained it so well when you talked about the universe and all of that. Now, when we look at this book, and we talk about reconnecting with your soul, there must be something going on. There's some dependence and codependence going on. How does that play out in one's life?
Well, when codependence is playing out in one's life, you feel like you are at the mercy of your fears, of other people's fears, of, your history, the dysfunction, in your family, that you are at the mercy, you feel like you're at the mercy of the economy, all of that. And what soul recovery is saying is that you are prosperous, you are whole, perfect, and complete, you are more than enough, you are worthy, you are deserving, independent of the external circumstances. And that is not about changing the external circumstances from the outside in. It's about changing the internal circumstances, rearranging yourself, reconnecting to your soul. And it is from that place that the external circumstances, that you are led to divine and perfect action to change the external circumstances.
Awesome. This has been the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well, with Esther Nicholson, the author of Soul Recovery. You can reach out to Esther at soulrecovery.org. It is so amazing, Esther, that you are on this show and you're talking about this, because it is so near and dear to my heart. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you, and go forth and conquer.
Remember to go to loveloyaltysuperstore.com, L-O-V-E. LoyaltySuperstore.com today to experience the fun and the joy of shopping from the comfort of your home at 1,100 of your favorite national merchants, and receive up to 30% cash rebates and 60% discounts on your purchases at loveloyaltysuperstore.com. Be sure to scroll down and download the Cashback Finder at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.